The power of the New York Dormant is underrated. The Guardians who patrol the New York apartment buildings for around 150 years. They know what their tenants eat, whether they're a big drinker, and what they get up to behind closed doors. In the studio now is photographer Alina Gozina, who is shining a light on these invisible men with the world premiere of her exhibition At Your Door, The Dormant of New York City. Good morning, Alina.
Good morning.
How are you? Big thing, world premiere.
Yeah, I'm good. I think I'm just on a different planet at the moment. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I can't wait until, you know, it's done.
Yeah. So what interested you about The Dormant of New York initially?
I think with my work, it seems to have a bit of a pattern that I don't sit there, you know, in the dark room all day long listening to Rachmaninoff and, you know, staring at Rothko's paintings. I did that when I was 15 and 16, for sure.
Over that stage now.
Yeah, and out of that stage now. But I think that there's been a pattern in my work where ideas come usually from struggle. And struggle is a big definition, you know, it's hard to define what it is, but it's been something circumstantial and then the idea comes to me. And with The Dormant of New York, just like all my other projects, it came out of necessity. So when I moved to New York, my boyfriend at the time said, oh, well, we're going to live in Brooklyn. And I said, no, over my dead body, I'm not living in Brooklyn. I've come to New York. I'm living in Manhattan. And he said, well, we can't afford it because there's this thing with real estate agents. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
In New York, real estate agents basically charge you 10% of the annual rent fee just to open the door for you. So
what?
On the top of paying rent, on the top of paying deposit and security, you just have to pay a commission fee, and you know, it works out to be $4,000 or $5,000 or more.
Wow.
And that's what happens if you want to live in Manhattan. So, you know, he said, look, if you can find a way to find a lease of an apartment directly, then maybe we can live in Manhattan. I said, well, how am I going to do that? And he said, well, you're Russian. You guys have won World War II. You know how to drive tanks. Work it out. And
it was what an attitude.
Yeah, it was an attitude. I gave the attitude back eventually. But it was just quite, looking back at it, it was quite a surreal experience because I wanted to be in Manhattan, not for superficial reasons, but because it's, you can just walk the streets and it's just so wonderful. You go from suburb to suburb and it's a melting pot and it's just amazing. Mm. And that was the reason why I wanted to live in Manhattan. So looking back at it, I don't really know how it all started. I just remember walking the streets and literally, weirdly enough, hanging outside of this one house hoping that the people that live in the building will come out. There was a financial district in around Wall Street. And the reason why I went there, because they told me, someone told me that it's the cheapest area to live in Manhattan at that time. So, and look, eventually one thing led to another and I realized there's people standing outside of the buildings. I couldn't understand who they were. So basically you have a person standing outside of the building, then you walk through and they're there as well inside the lobbies. It's kind of like two guards that are guarding these buildings. And look, when I started talking to them, basically trying to score a connection for their apartment.
Yeah.
And going from building to building and, you know, walking the streets, I quickly realized that a lot of those doormen are actually immigrants from Eastern Europe.
Mm.
And I'm Russian and my parents obviously are Russian and they came out to Australia, you know, after the collapse of USSR. And I started connecting with them and I really got very interested in their stories. Because first of all, I was fascinated and taken aback by the dormant culture in itself.
Yeah.
Why do you need a dormant? Why do you know, and it's so spread out. You can't find it. I can see that's happening in Sydney now. Now that I'm back, I can see this building popping up with what we call concierge.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's in London and in Paris, but not to the extent that it is in New York. It's
feels
a real
like
culture.
Every building there has one. Like here, it's like very select buildings will have a concierge.
Exactly. And yeah, and I started asking people, saying, why do you need a doorman? And everybody, every single person gave me the same answer. What will I do with my packages? I said, what packages are you talking about? and I'm like, well, the packages that we get, you know, through the post when somebody sends me, like from Amazon. And I said, well, In Australia, and actually even in LA or anywhere else, you go to the post office and you pick it up. And they looked at me like I was from a different planet. That just does not exist. You need a doorman for that. and so there was this wonderful and bizarre and interesting and culture of the doorman in New York. And it really is. It is so New York. And more so, it is so Manhattan. And it's kind of like the upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey drama that happens because they know everything about you.
Yeah.
And you know very little about them. And as universe would have it, me being so judgmental as to, oh God, how can you have a dorm? How can you have another person opening the door for you? And I was quite judgmental about it. Of course, as universe would have it, I then ended up moving into a building with a dorm.
Of course.
Of course. And found myself in that situation. Develop a very close relationship with them.
That said, like, you know, when you've developed this relationship with them, as you mentioned, a lot of people don't know their backstory. So is this exhibition about getting into the ends of their backstory?
It is. The exhibition has two layers. The first layer of the exhibition is about New York and its doorman culture, because as we just talked about, it is so unique and bizarre and wonderful, and doesn't happen to that extent anywhere else in the world. The second part of that layer is very close to my heart, and that's about the immigration stories. And I don't particular like putting that forward because I think we've become so immune about the word immigration and it's so negative. But actually, these stories are positive, heartbreaking, but positive.
Yeah.
So I specifically photographed only men that have come out of Eastern Europe for two reasons, because I'm Russian / part of Eastern Europe. And the second reason is because a line portion of doorman now are Eastern European. They seem to be very in demand. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of those men are very highly educated. God, that didn't sound right. Very highly educated. Are highly educated.
Yeah.
You know, across from doctors and engineers, architects, and the list goes on. And I think that they, because they're so well-mannered and well-educated, of course, people want to employ them as a doorman. And it's a heartbreaking thing. And like I know that firsthand.
Yeah.
Immigration, some people gain in immigration, but a lot of people, like my family, you lose a lot in exchange for gaining. So if you did have social status back in your country, if you did have financial stability, if you did have high education, you give that up in exchange for freedom that the Western world offers, as opposed to what we had. And the cost of that is traumatic. But you can't really talk about it because you don't have any visible scars. You know, there's worse stories happening. You were not on a boat, you were not shot at, and so I don't think you feel you have the right to talk about it. And so my exhibition is about invisible scars of displacement. But the displacement could happen not just through immigration. You could be displaced by coming from Perth to Sydney and vice versa. You could be displaced by breaking up with your partner. You could be displaced by being bullied. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and that's not to sound self-indulgent. That's not to dwell on, oh my God, we are constantly displaced. But at the same time, people feel ashamed to talk about this because it doesn't seem like a big enough problem to discuss, but it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good to have that conversation.
Absolutely. Now, with them, it's, as you mentioned, it's really sad that, you know, these people come from social status. How do they feel about being just as doorman? Because in a way they are elevated, especially in this very bizarre culture of doorman.
Look, I think it's on a shoot, We all cried. They cried. I cried. My crew cried. It was quite emotional. The shoot was very intense because we had very little time because of the budgetary constraints. So we only had maybe 20 to half an hour with each person. And I'm coming back to your answer in a very long-winded way.
No, it's fine.
But just to explain how they felt and the insight that I had into how they felt. And so during the shoot was really was the most honest time of understanding how they felt.
Yeah.
Because while I was talking to them leading up many months before that, you know, the conversation probably was more guarded. Once we get to the shoot, I think how they really feel about this was expressed in the emotion that came out through their tears. You can't really talk about that stuff. It's really, really, really hard. I find it hard to talk about this. And to be honest with you, I've never really spoken about it in full length to any of my closest friends because you become very emotional and there's no point. So I think how they really feel was how they responded, and that was, you know, the kind of breaking down a little bit during the shoot. And how I would summarize it, because it might sound a bit abstract, is that you cut your losses. Basically, I think that being a doorman is much better than being washing dishes in a restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's definitely much harder than continue being an architect as you were in your country.
Yeah.
So it's a two-sided, two-folded. When you immigrate, you gain, but you also cut your losses, and you've got to let it go, and you cut your losses, and you try to be strong, and you look into the future, and you make the best of that. But that applies to anyone in any life and in any circumstances. So I think that at some, on the one hand side, they really celebrate that they can send their school kids to schools, and there's a future for them. On the other, and also that they have jobs that are stable and secure, and they have unions that look after them, and they pay medicals. As you know, medical system in the States is very complicated, or was up until Obama. complicated again now. So, and at the same time, I think there's a lot of pain that has been buried so underneath, as it was with my parents and me, and you kind of don't talk about it. So I hope I answered that in a very long-winded way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But on a lighter note, they must have some great stories about their clients.
Oh, they have. I mean, they're the residents in the buildings. I mean, as I mentioned to you, I was one of the residents. Yeah. It's anecdotal. You see everything. And also, I'll give you an example, right? So there's doorman that do the day shift and the doorman that do the night shift. So Mitch was my doorman in the building who only did the night shift. He only ever seen me after midnight. So you can imagine his perception of me, right? Always, and I'm Russian, so of course, very short skirts, high heels, you know, makeup. I mean, you know, and he'd only ever would see me after midnight, and it was always the same conversation. He'd always say, "Oh, Miss Alina, you look lovely, but very tired." I'm like, "Thanks, Mitch.
Where have you been?"
Right? And then the morning doorman, I don't think they've ever seen me in makeup because it's always been jeans, and you know, I'm a photographer. It's no makeup, running around. Or, you know, doing grocery shopping or dropping something off. So they have very different perceptions, and they do know everything about you. They know what you eat. They know who your friends are, who comes into the house at what time. And there have been a lot of stories where, you know, they would save certain relationships because they would call, you know, as a warning somebody. Because don't forget, we lived like those buildings in Financial District and also throughout New York, very tall high rises.
Yeah.
So if you need to get a warning and you're on level 65, there's plenty of time to get someone out the door that, you know, your husband, Don, or your wife doesn't necessarily need to see. So this, I've heard incredible stories. It's hard to share them in the public arena because these doormen have never gone on record before, from what we understand.
Yeah.
There's been one photographer that photographed them outside, just outside of the buildings, but not, you know, I photographed them in the studio, the way I would photograph politicians or people that I shoot for magazines. And we had a lot of private time. And so they've gone on record to share these stories, but to remain nameless. But yes, it's wonderful. They know everything about everyone. So you want to be very nice to them as well. They have a lot of power.
they do. I can imagine. Oh, imagine that power in New York.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, can you imagine being a Trump's doorman, though?
Yeah, that would know a lot of information on him, yes. But I assume that they probably would never talk.
No, not on the record anyway. But Alina, thank you so much for chatting to us today.
Thank you.
Exhibition will kick off on Wednesday at Wentworth Galleries. We can't wait to see. We'll put all those details up on 2SER.com along with this podcast. But thanks for coming in.
Yes, and I hope everyone will come and see it. It's at Martin Place, and it's a beautiful space in the GPO building right on the corner of Pitt Street. So please, guys, come and check it out.
Gorgeous place for it. Very fitting.
I know. Yeah, it's perfect. Wentworth Galleries is beautiful. It's a beautiful 19th century building, and it's just gorgeous. So I feel very lucky that they wanted to exhibit it.
Amazing. Well, Alina, we'll see you there.
See you soon. Bye.